I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
All right, John, I'm going to throw a hypothetical at you.
All right. Hit me.
I'm going to give you an option right now because today marks day one of the second half of 2020.
Man, where did it go? What a mess it's been.
If I gave you the option of just having everything go the way it did in sports, just in sports, we're just talking sports, everything go the way it did in sports for the first 6 months, or you have to endure a pregnancy for 9 months, so you would have 3 more months left in your pregnancy. Would you take the pregnancy? Now you don't have to lose the weight. This is the one thing. You don't have to do what most women do when they're pregnant. You don't once it's up and once
gain the weight. You mean
once you kick the imaginary baby out and you go through all the simulated pain that women go through in the delivery room. Once that happens, you're back to normal and everything's good. The 9 months is a wash, but you have to go through carrying the extra weight. You have to go through everything someone goes through for a pregnancy for 9 months, or you have to endure the 6 months just in sports. I'm making this clear, the 6 months in sports that we've gone through. Would you go with the pregnancy or would you go with what's already happened?
What goes on in your head sometimes? I just.
This is a no-brainer. This is a no-brainer.
What, you think I would endure a pregnancy?
Yes.
You think I would endure a pregnancy?
Yes.
Would you?
Yes. I would go through if it meant that we just got a normal sports year and we didn't have to go through everything in sports that we've gone through this year, and all I had to do, I'd be 2/3 of the way through, is go through a pregnancy, and once the imaginary baby and the simulated delivery room went done, I could just go back to my normal self. Yes, I would go through the pregnancy for the team. Yes, I would, 100%.
Would the baby look like Vince Young?
I'm just going to keep it moving on that one.
It's on the table, right? I mean, it definitely is on the table.
It's just simulated. The baby, it just disappears once it's out. Once you squeeze it out, it disappears, and then you go back to your normal weight. And you go about your business, and it will be
to answer your question. No, I would not endure a pregnancy.
It would be football season too, right? It would be right in September, so I'd go watch college football, and everything would be normal.
I understand, and you know how much I love sports, obviously. But I'm just one of those guys. I'm one of those everything happens for a reason guys.
Sorry, Kobe.
I'm just one of those guys. It all happens for a reason, man.
It wouldn't even take a little discomfort to save Kobe, Fig.
Yeah. You didn't say anything about Kobe. You said sports.
He's sports, Sydney? Isn't that part of sports?
He didn't play last year.
Okay, well, sorry, Kobe.
I thought you were talking about the games.
Sorry, Kobe. It's all right.
Yeah.
No, I was talking about the games. Figgy, would you just go as is, or would you go with the pregnancy?
I go as is, man. Okay. It's painful, man.
I work with some chumps, man. I work with some absolute.
It's no, so you think it's a chump to go through a pregnancy?
I mean, millions of people do it each year. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. And I'm not having to worry about any health. Once it's out, boom, I'm out. And then back to normal. I'm a team player, though.
Yeah.
Not everyone can say that. I work with some individuals. I'm a team player. So it's cool. I get it. It's fine.
Which team?
This one, sir.
Which team are you on?
This squad.
Which team are you on?
This squad. In the Loop, Sports Radio 610. Let's say goodbye to 2020, because I think John might need to be reminded of everything we've gone through in sports the first half of 2020. I'm going to say goodbye through poem. J-Lo is going to say goodbye through song. So be ready. Sure. I'm actually proud of the work that the OG put together on this. I'm going to start by saying goodbye to 2020. Everything we've gone through in sports. The Texans rallied to beat the Bills. And Deshaun Effin Watson showed off his skills. Hosting the Titans in the AFC ship? No way this can be real. The next week was a dream. Everything was set up our way till a 24-0 choke job when B.O.B. didn't have a play. God, that sucked. The Mamba went to heaven too soon of an end. Then 2 days later, King Bill was named the GM.
How's that for an answer?
Not good. The Chiefs won it all over the Niners 574 times for Tita. Mentioned Maury and China. March Madness and Ogo, the NBA season stops. Astros cheated their butts off, and then they got popped.
There they did.
Pour one out for Hinch. Pour another out for Luno. Throwback ludicrous. Rob Manfred, you. Dusty came to town. Yankees fans were some clowns. John McClain kept on walking and then gained 10 more pounds.
Pathetic with a capital P.
Very disappointed in you. Quarantine weight, though, it happens. Crane botched the presser. MLB got delayed. King Bill made some signings, and there was a new Hopkins trade. Huh. MLB owners and players... about as cool as diarrhea. Where you at, sports? I really want to see ya.
Look at you.
But thanks for being with us. 2020 halfway home. Let's put on those rally caps and finish this bitch strong.
All right.
Now it's time for you, OG, to show off those skills. You're going to show off those skills like only the OG can.
You know, you sometimes, and I've said this, you just got to get out of your comfort zone. You never know what's going to happen. So it could be for better or worse. But, got out of the old comfort zone, channeled a little what Landry Locker occasionally likes to do. Go ahead and spin that, Figgy.
You came on like a dream. Peaches and cream, we all thought we'd be just fine. You're 2020, you're drunk, go on home. You're all nothing to fear, ooh, just have a beer, or maybe some cheese and wine. You're 2020, you're drunk, go on home. COVID-19, Kobe's dead. Wanted you gone since the night we met. Social unrest, lots of protests. Are you kidding me? Murder hornets, you killed all of my sports. Work on my porch, now you're spiking again. You're 2020, you're drunk, go on home.
All right, a little bit of a bridge here, a little bit of a bridge here. Here we go.
Where's my flask? Wear a mask. It's so wrong, I gotta even ask. Wildfires burn, the stocks, they crash. Are you kidding me? The Tiger King, you came on like a dream. Peaches and cream, we all thought we'd be just fine. You're 2020, you're drunk, go on home. You're 2020, you're drunk, go on home.
Oh, boy.
That was pretty good. That was pretty good. I was impressed.
Thank you.
You didn't like it?
Thank you. No, it's just like, you know, you put yourself out there, you always get embarrassed.
Yeah, I just know we started this segment with you making some sort of inappropriate Vince Young joke and talking about teams, and then you remix a pedophile song. So
no, it's not a pedophile song. It's Ringo Starr.
Well, how's that chorus go?
I don't know. Something about 16 years old. I don't
know.
Yeah.
How does that chorus go exactly, John?
I think it's "You're 16, you're beautiful, and you're mine."
Yeah. How old was he when that song came out?
Maybe 17.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Okay.
37.
Yeah. Maybe 11. Too old to be singing about 16-year-olds. I can promise you that. Good gosh, 2020 has sucked so far. But the best is yet to come. In all seriousness, we appreciate all the loopholes. If you listen, you are a loophole for being along the ride with us. Hopefully, we get some sports pretty soon. Hopefully, things start looking up. If you could take away three things that have happened in sports from 2020 so far, what would they be? DeAndre Hopkins, what would they be if you could take away three things that have happened in 2020?
In sports.
In sports. I would take away the Hopkins trade. What about the – well, yeah, Kobe.
Number one, Kobe. Number two, Hopkins trade.
Yes.
Number three, the Astros thing was 2019, wasn't it? Or was it 2020?
The World Series?
When the penalty.
The penalty was this year.
Okay, so those are my three.
So you want A.J. Hinch back.
Exactly. Although you get Jeff Luhnow.
Yeah, you still got to keep Luhnow. You hate Luhnow.
I hate Luhnow. I would say Kobe, DeAndre Hopkins trade. We'll eliminate that. We'll eliminate that because it was all in 2017 anyway. It would have come out. So I would say Kobe, DeAndre Hopkins. God, I can't think of another thing I would take
away. What about
the
24-0
lead?
What about the 24-0
lead?
You can't change
results. January.
You can't change results. That's
well, you're changing. You're making Kobe alive.
Yeah, but on field results. I'm talking like on field.
Okay,
results.
I would say just the shutdown then. That was in March.
Yeah, some
ending the NBA season.
A little baseball going on for us. COG John Lopez, Landry Locker, Figgy Fig with you here on Houston Sports Leader Sports Radio 610. The Big Three besties. So the Big Three sports. Who has the best franchise player? Who has the best GM? Who has the best coach? We'll cuss and discuss next.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
All right, the besties of the Big Three. The best asset that each team around town, Texans, Astros, Rockets, possesses. Let's go down a list, John. I have a six-piece for you. Six-piece combo, so it's going to be tenders, obviously. The best franchise player in town. I think we're going to have a disagreement here. If I asked you who's the best franchise player in town, who would you say?
I would say Deshaun Watson, and it's a two-horse race. The reason – I think you're going to pick the other horse. But the reason I would say Deshaun Watson is – well, maybe it's a little bit of projection as well because we know what the other dude is capable of already. Deshaun Watson has more of an upside. But I think it's also because clearly the entire franchise is basing everything on and building everything around Deshaun Watson.
Look, I love Deshaun Watson. I don't even want to think about where the Texans would be without Deshaun Watson. I know we've been starved for a quarterback here for a long, long time. I have belief in Deshaun Watson, but unfortunately, Deshaun Watson's not in control of his entire destiny. He's not right now. Deshaun Watson, whether it's because of the system, whether it's because of weapons, getting rid of DeAndre Hopkins, which we haven't seen him play without Nuke yet. We don't know. Deshaun Watson's not one of the best quarterbacks in the league right now. He's just not. I mean, again, not all his fault. He's just not that. He's not elite. James Harden is one of the best players in the NBA, and I'm very aware of the flaws, but I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to side with the known instead of hope. So if you're asking me who has the best franchise player, I'm going to go with James Harden. That's who I'm going with, but I believe in Deshaun Watson. I'm just a little bit concerned what he's going to look like without Nuke and the system and the scheme and everything that he has around him.
The other thing to consider here, look, there's no wrong answer. But I'm just kind of comparing and contrasting why I picked Deshaun over James Harden. My thing is, you know, James Harden has had terrific, terrific complimentary pieces around him, and they keep adding them. Deshaun Watson has had none of that outside of DeAndre Hopkins, and they don't care about it. They're valuing him to be able to carry the load by himself pretty much that much. That's one of the reasons I picked Deshaun.
Best general manager.
Daryl Morey, and his stock is plummeting. I mean, he's Enron-ish right now in terms of...
Is he going to prison?
No.
I mean, good God. In terms of... Enron?
Well, hear me out.
Damn.
Enron was the company. It was the stock. It was the hottest of the hot, just like Daryl Morey. And I'm not saying he's completely... you know, crashed and burned, but he's working on 13 years and hadn't won anything yet.
Enron.
I mean, it's as simple as that. But he's still, by default, the best of the bunch.
Best GM to me, I'm going to go with Bill. I'm just kidding. I'm going to go with Daryl Morey by default. Daryl Morey, I think his arrow is pointing down, but James Click of the Astros, who I actually a big fan of, been on the job for a few months. He really hasn't even
you don't
made
know
any
anything.
Moves. He didn't even hire Dusty Baker or anything. So I got high hopes for him, but you can't put him there. Bill O'Brien, a lot of skepticism when it comes to his GMing. I'll give it to Morey, and I also want to give Morey a free pass because I think when you win a championship, usually you get that free pass. Chris Paul getting hurt didn't help their chances of winning a championship. Some people say it eliminated it, although I do think it's interesting that they act like the Rockets would have just ran through LeBron James and the Cavs. I find that a little bit interesting that's just laid out. And also, I think he works handcuffed because I think Tillman Fertitta does not want to spend money. They haven't used the luxury tax. That's a fact. And I also think that he's probably a little bit harder to work with than most owners. See how many times he's mentioned Daryl Morey in China.
That's fine, but it's not just Tillman Fertitta. And I hate to bring this up. I like to bring it up because I think too many people are over the top with Daryl Morey as if he's freaking Paul Brown, you know, or something. I mean, you know, but it's also a little unfair.
But
I get that.
You know why that is. I mean, you know he knows how to work.
Because he's good with the media.
He knows how to work the game.
Because he's friendly, and knows how to work the media, and so everybody gives him a pass. Let's keep. Tell me if I'm missing any. Yao Ming. Tracy McGrady, James Harden, Chris Paul, Carmelo. I mean, he brought in Carmelo to be a contributor.
Come on.
Did he bring him in to not contribute, or did he bring him in to trade him again, to release him again? No, he brought him in because he thought there was something there. No, he did. This is one of the moves that he made. So, Carmelo, Westbrook, these are superstar players, not good players. Superstars, and they haven't won squat.
Yeah, I mean, you could look at it that way. I also think you can make a case that the Chris Paul trade wasn't a good trade. I mean, if we just look at the actual results and the fact that you punted on him.
Well, that's on him.
And really, you could even make a case that.
That's on him.
If you look at what Chris Paul's doing right now, maybe it was a bad trade to even trade him after. I don't know. But Daryl Morey by default.
But that's on him. You know, we talk about the ceiling with Bill O'Brien all the time. The Rockets have hit a ceiling with much better resources and much better players.
Yeah, and I don't know how much easier it's going to get for him. It's going to be interesting to see how this organization functions moving forward. Best coach.
You got it, man. You know who it is. You want to say it at the same time?
1, 2, 3. Mike D'Antoni.
Not even close.
The man with three first names, Mike, Dan, and Tony. I think historically, Mike D'Antoni doesn't get the appreciation that he deserves for how innovative he's been. Also, he's had some bad luck. I mean, Joe Johnson got hurt. Amari Stoudemire got hurt. You had the hip check incident. You had the Chris Paul. He might have a deal with the devil. Dusty
had
Baker
some suspensions.
Yeah, with the Robert Horry hip check. He doesn't get the credit that he deserves. And I also think that last year, those public negotiations that Fertitta had, were disgraceful. I think that was a disgraceful way for an owner to handle himself. You've covered sports longer than me, but I think for that to get as public and as petty as it did with Mike D'Antoni last year, I think that was disgraceful. I hope Tillman Fertitta learns from it. I hope that that doesn't happen again, but I thought it was very disrespectful for a guy who doesn't get the credit he deserves. Dusty hadn't managed a game. Bill O'Brien, the questions are out there about him. Best coach in town. The man with three first names, Mike D'Antoni.
Mike D'Antoni's kind of a skinny Andy Reid right now. You know, he's still everybody respects him. Everybody knows what he's done. He's an offensive genius. People marvel at what he can do offensively, but he just hadn't won it yet.
The best young player in town. Best young player in town.
Yordan, baby.
I'm with you.
I mean,
I'm with you.
When you look at the potential that he's got, it's off the charts.
23 years old is the age of Yordan Alvarez. Sky's the limit. We'll see how that knee holds up. But Yordan Alvarez is the best young player. Best uniforms in town.
I think we're going to disagree on this, and I don't know how. I think it's not even close that the Houston Astros have the best uniforms. They have the best various types of uniforms. That's what I'm saying. They have you know, a bunch of different ones. They can go classy. They can go kind of daring. They've got the colors. Astros have great uniforms. Best logo, best uniforms.
I got the all-black Rockets tied with the Color Rush Texans all-blues that they wear in primetime, the ones they wore against the Patriots last year.
I like those, but I think the Astros have got them.
You did not have the victory red Texans.
Do not have the ketchup bottles.
Best game day experience in town.
It's not close, is it?
I think it's the Texans.
Texans?
Yeah, I think it's the Texans. Yeah, Texans. And then a playoff game with the Stros is up there. Rockets, distant third. Distant third when it comes to game day experience. Like way in the back. Way in the back. Can't even see them. Need my binoculars to see the Rockets in that. Sorry about it. 713-572-4610 if you want to get in. Stanford Rout about to be in the building. Wonder what he's been up to. We're going to ask him about Cam Newton. We're also going to ask him about our now or never players in the AFC South. We're going to present that. Then we're going to hear from Stan on a Well-Spoken Wednesday next.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
Stanford Rout coming up shortly. Now or never, AFC South edition. Texans training camp beginning at the end of the month. There's an important call tomorrow that's going to be made. It's going to be a conference call in which we'll get the latest on what we can expect, what players can expect when camp does resume. If we get those details, we'll give you the latest. Maybe John McClain can do some digging for us. But let's talk about now or never, J-Lo, and let's just describe what exactly now or never means when we're talking about now or never players in the AFC South.
I mean, it's, you know, these are the guys that you had certain expectations for, and for whatever reason, even though they might be productive in some cases, for whatever reason, they're just not quite where they need to be to help their team get to the next level. Now or never players, they're also at that point in their career where if they don't get it done this year, the team is likely going to move on from them.
Let's start in Tennessee. Tennessee Titans, most successful team in the division last year, made it to the AFC Championship in Mike Vrabel's second year as head coach. The now or never player for the Tennessee Titans, OG.
Well, for me, it's the guy that was the first wide receiver taken in the entire 2017 draft, and that would be Corey Davis. I had high expectations for him. I'm pretty sure you did as well. I know the Titans did, taking him when they did. If he can become a good, productive complement to A.J. Brown, who's going to be a monster in this division for a long time, it's going to be a problem for a lot of people. But he hadn't yet. He hadn't reached that level yet. He's been okay. Hadn't been awful, but he hadn't reached that level.
He's heading into his fourth year. They didn't pick up his fifth-year option, so he's going to be a free agent after the year. There's that contract year talk that everybody talks about. Less than 50 targets last year. You got A.J. Brown on the opposite end, a second-year receiver who many believe is going to be just all-world. You're calling him the second coming of Andre Johnson. Look, he didn't have time last year to get on the same page with Ryan Tannehill. Ryan Tannehill took over six games into the season, and he and Corey Davis never really got on the same page, but apparently him and Corey Davis, Tannehill and Corey Davis, have been working together. They're trying to get it together. They got a lot of weapons. I think Corey Davis is going to have a productive year. I don't know if Corey Davis is ever going to be what they thought he would be, you know, when they selected him in the top 10 of the draft.
Yeah.
But there's a place in this league for Corey Davis, and I think he's going to have his best year in 2020.
Yeah, but what you're saying about he and Ryan Tannehill getting together, that makes it even more, you know, emphasizes it even more that it's now or never. Now he doesn't have that excuse.
Indianapolis Colts, as we talk about now or never players. Who is the now or never player up there in Indy?
You got to grade on a scale here, or at least I am grading on a scale here, if you're wondering why I think the now or never player is going to be Phillip Rivers. Phillip Rivers is one of the greatest quarterbacks in the history of the NFL. 16 years he's played, working on 17 years. He is, I think he's fifth or sixth in the entire history in terms of a passing yardage. Had he won a Super Bowl and Drew Brees not won a Super Bowl, we would be looking at these guys entirely differently. Clearly grading on a scale because he's so great, but he hadn't won that big one, and I think he's got himself in a position where if things fall right, the Colts are going to have a chance. It's now or never.
Seems like a lot of people think he's just trash.
He is
garbage.
Awesome.
I mean, well, last year he had a rough year, but starting left tackle was out, running back held out, offensive line was a disaster. He's playing behind one of the best O-lines in the league right now. They got a defense where he might have to do less. I don't know why people act like Phillip Rivers has been garbage.
Because he hadn't won the Super Bowl. That's my whole point.
But I'm even talking about right now. They're acting like he's washed up and he's just like not some sort of upgrade over Jacoby Brissett. He was awesome 2 years ago. He was awesome.
Yeah. He was 2 years ago. He had 32 touchdowns and 12 interceptions. I mean, he's ahead of Aaron Rodgers, Warren Moon, Matt Ryan, John Elway, Ben Roethlisberger. He is sick. I just looked it up. He's sixth in the entire history of the NFL in passing. And 2 years ago, he was about as good as you could ever play in the NFL. So, yeah, that Super Bowl thing, I mean, we would be looking at these guys entirely different if he had one and Drew Brees did not.
Jacksonville Jaguars, now or never player in 2020.
A little bit on a scale again, grading on a scale, but I don't think that big of a scale. I thought Leonard Fournette would be Adrian Peterson. I really did. Watched him a lot in college, just dominant speed. Maybe not, you know, the moves between the tackles that Adrian Peterson had, but in the same neighborhood. And he's been good. He's been better than okay. Good running back, had his moments, but he hadn't been what we thought he's going to be. And it better be now or never with him because the Jaguars are considering moving on from it.
First year last year that he averaged over 4 yards to carry, 1,152 yards. Surprising was the 76 catches that he had. Now, it was a lot of mop-up duty, but that was surprising from Leonard Fournette. Don't know how they're going to use him. Don't know what's going to happen with him. But I agree with you. Leonard Fournette is a now or never guy. And if you're talking about, like, the biggest possible surprises, which sometimes become reality in the NFL, if Leonard Fournette does look like Adrian Peterson, let's say Leonard Fournette just all of a sudden just looks like he just got shot out of a cannon. And let's say we're talking about a 1,700-yard, 1,750, 1,800-yard rusher. I mean, maybe this is a Jacksonville team that is closer to the 8-8 than the 3-13. I mean, that could be something that could impact the division significantly. And I wouldn't be shocked if we saw a good Leonard Fournette this year. I think Leonard Fournette could be on this list. I think he's the guy that has the highest ceiling, if you will, for the 2020 time frame.
Well, and playing for a contract, it always has that effect as well. And then he's playing for a job right now, at least his either in Jacksonville or somewhere else.
He wants that money. There was talk about him going to Tampa Bay at one point, but that kind of dwindled away. What about right down the streets? I'm looking at it right now. I'm looking at NRG. I'm looking down Kirby. The now or never player for for the 2020 Houston Texans?
What's up, Will Fuller? We love you when you're at your best. We haven't seen enough of it, but we love you. He's got to play 15, 16 games. It's an absolute must. It's an absolute must.
Okay.
If he plays another 7-8 games, shows those great flashes, he's more Jacoby Jones than the player we thought he was going to be. Because that was Jacoby, incredibly talented, had his flash moments. His numbers are actually kind of close to Will Fuller's first 4 years, if you look at them, because I did the other day. But then he went on and became something when he got to Baltimore. But Will Fuller's got – you got to play more games, man.
We haven't seen Can't him without Nuke, man. We haven't seen him without Nuke.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I like Will Fuller. I'm one of the biggest Will Fuller fans there is. Are we sure that he's going to be the same guy without DeAndre Hopkins? Are we sure?
Well, and where's, you know, what are defenses? What poison are the defenses going to pick? You know, are they going to try to shade that safety or double team Will Fuller or Brandon Cooks or what? You know, what are they thinking?
It's going to be a weird situation for the Texans if Will Fuller does do what a lot of people have been hoping he's doing. Like if it's now instead of never for Will Fuller and he has a Pro Bowl caliber year, what are they going to do with the money? Like what's the money situation? Brandon Cooks is set to make $16 million. It's not guaranteed. You're going to have to pay Zach Cunningham. We know Watson's going to have to get paid. Will Fuller's going to be someone you're going to have to make a decision about. He could play his way out of town. It could be very interesting. Something to keep an eye on.
Got to be on the field.
We'll talk to Stan.
Got to stay on the field
about that here in a little bit. Now or never edition. Corey Davis. You had Phillip Rivers, Leonard Fournette, and Will Fuller. It is Wednesday here on In the Loop, which means it is Well Spoken Wednesday with our guy Stanford Routes. Former NFL cornerback, U of H Coug, one of the most interesting men on Instagram, Stanford
Routes. For all
you
guys that love sausage.
Joins us now. Stanford, got to lay it out for us. Got to lay it out for us. Have you won the day so far? Have you won the day?
I may not have won the day, but I think I'm in the lead. Started off getting me a nice workout in. Then I had to go and move to signing off on some papers. I'm actually going to be having a litigation with one of my former tenants. Wanted to skip out on the lease a couple of months early, so I got to go ahead and accrue some of those months back that they tried to not pay the rent. So did that so far, and then I'm trying to really clear my schedule because – I have something really, really important that's going to be going on this afternoon, and I'm really nervous, and I got to make sure that I'm mentally prepared to actually go ahead and endure it.
Okay,
what's
that's
her name?
A broad statement right there.
It is not a her, J Lo. I am going to finally get a haircut.
Oh wow!
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, so I got
a moment.
Yes, I got to make sure that mentally I'm where I need to be at because I know I'm a germaphobe.
Well, let me just say this, Stanford. I mean, I understand your feelings and I understand you are a germaphobe. So don't take this the wrong way, but you know, I've seen you on the gram, and I feel worse for the barber than I do you, honestly, if we're really talking about this.
Landry, it is not a Wednesday afternoon if you don't take a shot at me. So now I feel like I'm ready right into the conversation.
Hey,
that's a big step, though, man. That's something. That, I mean, they're right up in your face, and they're washing your hair maybe, and – certainly, you know, trimming it—that's a big step.
What is the What is you talked about your resident? You got the litigation. What is their excuse for skipping out on that lease?
Well, apparently they really just wanted to be in a different home. They moved into a new home about maybe 5-6 months ago, and basically just go ahead, tried to use the excuse of, oh well, you know, I haven't really been able to go ahead and make any money because of the coronavirus, so I've been laid off of work, this, that, and the other. So trying to make it seem like they moved into their in-laws' place to go ahead and try to save money, things like that. But it was really just that they didn't want to be in the house anymore. So that's fine. I get that. But there's this thing called a contract. So we need to go ahead and honor the things that we sign in America.
There we go. Speaking of contracts, Stan, gosh. I'm telling you, when I say he's the most interesting man, I'm not just making it
up. He is.
I mean, my goodness. Former NFL cornerback Stanford Rout with us. Speaking of contracts, what did you make of Cam Newton signing that contract with the New England Patriots? And what do you think of the notion from the OG that a somewhat healthy Cam Newton puts the Patriots ahead of the Texans in the pecking order for the 2020 NFL season?
Well, first off, what I thought of the contract was pretty much what I thought it was going to be, because there are no longer any starting spots available right now in this present climate within the NFL. So I knew that if Cam Newton was to get signed to a team, which I knew it was just a matter of time, it was going to be a situation where he was going to have to play himself into the starting role, not a team signing him to a contract that's going to automatically yield a starting position for him. That's number one. Now, number two, I think that the OG, whoever that is, and I think
it's John Lopez, man. Good Lord.
Oh, Jay. Oh, okay. Man. Oh, well, of course, if Jay Lo says it.
Dump that, Figgy. Let's erase that part. Start over. Go ahead.
Okay. Piggybacking on what J-Lo said, because he's intelligent just like I am, Spurs Nation, I think that he understands that it's the New England Patriots. And the New England Patriots still have a good defense. They got my man Stephon Gilmore, Gilligan's Island over there, a man in the corner. You got the McCourty brothers also back in the secondary. And because of Bill Belichick and because of Josh McDaniels, but mostly Bill Belichick, this team is not going to go 4-12. I don't care what everybody's saying. They think they're going to fall off the cliff. Now, are the Patriots going to be a Super Bowl contender? No, they're not. But I think you're fooling yourself if you think that this team is going to essentially be in the lottery of next year's draft, per se. I never thought that for not even one split second, and now they have Cam Newton in the fold. He may not even wind up being the start over Jared Stidham, but they're going to find a way to still get him on the field. So you're going to see a different looking offense, and I still think that given Bill Belichick, you got the Bill O'Brien-led Houston Texans, I'm still giving that nod to the Patriots.
Yeah, no, I'm you're talking my language there. One other thing we were talking about, and I want to get your thoughts because you played against him. You know, people, we did the segment called Now or Never, that it's now or never for certain players in the division to either step up or move on. Leonard Fournette needs to become next level player. You know, Corey Davis with the Titans needs to be a good complementary receiver. Will Fuller here. The one that seemed to raise some eyebrows is, I said, I don't think people realize how awesome Phillip Rivers is. And the only thing that he has a now or never on is getting to and winning a Super Bowl, because he's one of the greatest quarterbacks in the history of the game. People don't seem to acknowledge if he can just get to that Super Bowl, the place that will put him in history.
Oh, no question. I think that because in the draft class that he was a part of with a Ben Roethlisberger and an Eli Manning, and both of them having two titles themselves apiece, that's why I think when you think of Phillip Rivers, you just completely forget about him and you want to discredit everything that he was able to do for the San Diego and Los Angeles Chargers, simply because, like what I said, he never got to that Super Bowl title, and because he's sandwiched in between two other guys in his draft class that both have not one, two each, you're going to always hold that against him. And I don't think that you should do that in today's game, but that's where the media, that's where the fans now are at, is that if you don't win a title, you can't be considered great, because for some strange reason, you know, even though it was a team thing, a guy like Trent Dilfer winning the Super Bowl title with the Baltimore Ravens means he's more accomplished than Phillip Rivers.
Stanford Rout joining us here on In the Loop Sports Radio 610. There's supposed to be an important conference call tomorrow in the NFL in which they're basically going to give players a heads up of what to expect when camps open up. Have you ever been on one of these conference calls that the NFL has? And if so, What exactly are they like, and what do you think the important information is going to be in this call?
No, I've never been on a conference call myself personally.
You busy counting that money?
Okay. I will start over because I was rudely interrupted by one of the hecklers in the stand. I've never actually been on one of these conference calls. I can remember back during the lockout back in 2011, things like that. A lot of the conversations that were had, but no, I've never personally been on one. But I would imagine that right now there's a level of heightened apprehension for a lot of the players, not exactly knowing what to make of the future within training camp, the preseason, things like that. So there definitely has to be some hurdles and some bumps in the road that need to be ironed out from a lot of the players that may be as apprehensive as I would be if I was still playing.
How much of the conversation? See, I think some of the conversation is going to be about, hey, you guys, if you know, don't feel peer pressure about having to play if you have apprehension or if you want to be careful with something. Do you think that's going to be discussed at all?
It might be discussed a little bit, but this is football. This is not basketball. And because football does not have guaranteed contracts, because football is so far behind basketball when it comes to the leverage and just the level of power that players possess within the league, not individually, but just as a whole, you're not going to see any guys not join the NFL season.
Oh, really?
To
you don't think, huh?
I don't really think you're going to see that. I think that you may see guys not join the season due to contract disputes, like a Chris Jones from the Kansas City Chiefs, like maybe up until last week could have been a potentially Dak Prescott for the Dallas Cowboys. But I don't think that you're going to see that because football is such a animalistic, barbaric type of gladiator sport. And if you dip out on your teammates in the NFL because of this COVID-19, it's not going to be perceived as people standing with you, applauding you, understanding where you're coming from, things like that, supporting you like you'll see in the NBA with the Avery Bradley. You see the DeAndre Jordan. You see the Wilson Chandler, people like that, not going to come back for this NBA restart. And they're not going to be ostracized by their teammates or anything like that. In the NFL, I'm not certain that you would not see somebody being ostracized, somebody being treated like an outcast, things like that, whenever they come back for the 2021 season.
Let me ask you this real quick, though, because I get it. Football is more of that mentality. But I think that's why maybe they'll be talking about it. Like, hey, guys, don't feel like you have to. Let me ask you this. What if they make sitting out because of the pandemic like a injury? In other words, when you're injured, you get paid. It's not like, you know, they're sitting out and their contract is going to be voided. What if they make it like, you know, if you're sitting out because of the pandemic, that you get injury?
I think that if it's a marquee type of guy, and let's go with him, maybe a Lamar Jackson, a J.J. Watt, a DeAndre Hopkins, an Aaron Rodgers, a Tom Brady, let's say like an Adrian Peterson, somebody like that. If it's a marquee name, a guy who has earned the respect of everybody within the locker room, the organization, everybody within this country, the fans, things like that, they might be able to get away with it without receiving a lot of backlash. But other than that, it's going to be very, very difficult because, yeah, just like what you said, J-Lo, if they make it to where you still get paid, it's almost like an injury. Yes.
Yeah.
But you are going to have a lot of your teammates that are going to be looking at you sideways. There's going to be a lot of teammates that are not going to support that because they're going to feel like you abandoned them. That's number one. Number two, contracts are not guaranteed in the NFL. So, yeah, those owners, they're going to go ahead and allow you to receive your money, everything that you're supposed to be compensated for this 2020 season. But they cannot promise you having hard feelings, not being able to get that notion out of their mind. And when come March 2021, when the new league year starts, you know, that day when all the free agents get signed to big money. And then also, consequently, you see a lot of guys who are already on that team being cut, their contract not being picked up, things like that. Those owners cannot promise you that that's not going to be in the back of their mind, and that may not lead to the decision that they make to not retain you come March of 2021 when the new league year starts.
Stanford Route with us here every Wednesday on In the Loop Sports Radio 610. Well-spoken Wednesday. Stanford, we appreciate you for joining us. Be good during that haircut. Maybe you'll get a lollipop afterwards.
Yeah, good luck.
Hey, man, appreciate it, man. Can't wait to talk to you guys next week.
My guy, Stanford Route. My dude. That is a big deal for him with the haircut, though. Stanford's been, for anybody. You know, Stanford's been a germaphobe before this.
Oh, forever.
A lot of people developed into being germaphobes during the pandemic. Stanford's been a germaphobe from the beginning.
Yeah, yeah.
If everybody had been Stanford Route during this thing probably would have never happened. Numbers would be dropping like crazy. Stanford Route with us on Well Spoken Wednesday, our guy. What do Matt Schaub, Ryan Tannehill, Steve McNair, and Matt Khalil have in common with Cam Newton? We'll tell you coming up. There's going to be some in-depth analysis of why John Lopez might be onto something when it comes to Cam Newton in New England next.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.